Well, good evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll be looking at the first few verses here in this passage and a parallel passage in Matthew 6 as well. You know, as you get to know people, you come to learn a lot about them. Particularly, you learn what the things are that they like or that they don't like. You might notice what particular foods they like, who their favorite sports teams are, or what they like to do for fun. And if you spend a lot of time with people, those things just become evident just by being around them, by the things they talk about, the things they do. And you might think of, when you think of a particular individual, there might be some particular things that come to mind that you know stand out about them, things that they like to do. You might think about someone that likes hunting, and that's when you think about them, that comes to mind. You think about Wyatt, you think about duck hunting. Of course, if you work with him, that's this time of year, that's what you start hearing about a lot. Or if you be around Pastor, you know, he likes farming or Amish auctions. So you might, you know, things like that, or woodworking. And Micah, you know, might think of coffee. You know, he likes some coffee, things like that. And I don't know what you might think of if you think of me, but, you know, all these things just show, you know, that there's things that we like. And there's good things and all that. But the most important thing is what drives us in life. What is our most important pursuit in life? And Colossians 3 here presents us with this important issue and makes clear that there really are only two options or choices. And it could be phrased a number of different ways. It's mentioned here as things above or things on the earth. Other passages talk about serving God or mammon, the kingdom of God or material things. But really, it all boils down to those two choices. And the question is what is your driving focus in life? And, you know, the question is if God were to look at your life, or say another man were to look at your life, what would they see as the place of your affection, as we're going to read about here in Colossians chapter 3? So let's take a moment and read these first few verses here, and then we'll get into that. Colossians 3, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. And we see a very similar wording, similar truth here. Really from verses 19 through the end of the chapter. But look with me at verse number 33 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now here in these passages, the first thing I'd like us to notice is the choice of our affections. There's a choice involved here. And we see that by some specific words that are used here. First of all, in Colossians 3:1, it says, "Seek those things which are above." We see that word "seek." Again, in the beginning of verse number 2, "Set." Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, to define the word affections there, here, the meaning of, that's used here, translated affection, means to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek or to strive for. Now, the words "seek" and "set" are actions of the will and require a personal decision, an active decision. It's not something that just happens by accident. I don't know if you've ever tried playing hide and go seek, but usually there's, you know, someone hiding and someone seeking, and there's an activity going on there, and if you're the only one hiding and the other person isn't seeking you, well, you might be stuck waiting for a while. And, you know, children sometimes have a hard time understanding that. And they want to play hide and go seek, but they don't know how to hide. And, Daddy, here I am. Makes the seeking pretty easy. But we see that these are personal decisions. A choice that you are going to seek God, that you're going to seek the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, seek here involves an ongoing pursuit. And whereas I believe the word set points to a specific point in time of a decision that is made. Now, similar to a treasure hunt, the story is told of archaeologist Howard Carter, who for more than 30 years searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist, the tomb of King Tut. Most experts believe that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered. But Carter continued his search. Eventually, after five more years without result, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. Well, in November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. He sent a cable to England which said, "At last, have made wonderful discovery in valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the world's greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found. Now, that's pretty remarkable. And it all boiled down to the fact that he was sure there was a hidden treasure there to be found, and he wasn't going to give up. It didn't matter if his funding was going to stop. He was going to keep seeking for that treasure. And it was an ongoing pursuit. You know, he didn't just go out there one day, dig around in some sand and say, "Oh, guess there's no treasure here." It was something that he did day after day, digging through sand, something that took a lot of work. And in the same way, the Bible says, seek those things which are above. You know, that involves an ongoing daily pursuit. But we also see the word there, set, of setting your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I think a good analogy to this is the mirror's relationship. You know, I have chosen to set my affection upon my wife, and those vows were articulated on our wedding day. And that was a setting, a decision that was made. But you know what? There's an ongoing pursuit of seeking to know and to love my wife. You know, it wasn't just a one-time thing. There's things that you continue to seek ways to love her and please her in your daily life. And in the same way, we see that here in this passage, there's a setting of your affection. You know, there a lot of times in the life of a believer, the life of a young person, there comes a point of surrender, of submitting your life to live for God. And really, to do what this passage says, to seek those things which are above, to live for eternal things, not to live for the temporal. And perhaps you're here tonight, and that's a decision that you've been struggling with, of coming to that place of surrendering your earthly ambitions, what you think life is all about, and submitting to really what is eternal, what will have lasting value. Living for God, serving Him, seeking to do His will. So we see that we must make this choice. Often it begins with surrender, but there's also an ongoing daily seeking of God in our lives. So not only is there the choice of our affections, but we also see in this passage the object of our affections. And the way it's phrased here in Colossians 3 verse 2 is, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now we see that there is a contrast between these two objects of our affections. And if we turn over to Matthew chapter 6 again, I'd like us to notice something earlier here in this passage. Let's go back to verse 19 and read the verses following. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." What I'd like us to notice here about the objects of our affections is that they're mutually exclusive. It's not, oh, I'm going to live part of the time for myself and part of the time for God. It's one or the other. Here it's specifically talking about mammon or money. If money's going to be your pursuit in life, guess what? God and doing his will is not going to be your pursuit in life. If material things, if fame, if friends, if pleasure is your pursuit in life, it will not be the kingdom of God. And so we see these two different objects identified. And the kingdom of God is a broad term that encapsulates God's will on this earth. And you can be a part of accomplishing God's will. You can surrender your life to doing God's will. And also part of that object is pursuing a relationship with God. You know what? When you pursue a relationship with someone, you seek to spend time with them. You're going to speak to them. And we're going to seek to spend time in God's Word. We're going to seek to pray so that we can know God. We're also going to be seeking to reach souls. That's going to be part of our object in life is reaching souls. And contrasted with that, we see the material things here, but also back in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5 gives the opposite of seeking the things which are above. It says rather, you know, verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Here we have that contrast between the things of heaven and the things of earth. "Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So there's obviously some big sins named here, but also things like covetousness, which is idolatry. How often can that little sin creep into our heart? Looking at the things of the world, and we start coveting them. That's what we want. And we lose our focus on serving God. What's really going to matter when we die, when we stand before God? Is it going to be how many friends we had? Is it going to be how many toys or money? No, it's going to be what we did to serve God and what we did to accomplish his will on earth. And you know, it may not necessarily be something sinful, but something contrary to the will of God. And you know, think of the American dream. Really, that's what it's all about many times. So there's a choice between these two mutually exclusive options. What is the choice? And lastly, I'd like us to notice the revelation of our affections. You see, when you love something, when you're pursuing something, it's going to be evident to those around you. And they can identify that. So how are the affections of our heart identified? And this could be something for you to look at your own heart and think about. And also, you know, think about the fact that others are able to observe your life. But first of all, it begins in our thoughts, what we think about, what consumes your thoughts. And that's really the part of the meaning here, the word affection. Okay, what you think upon. And over in Matthew chapter 6 again, I know I keep jumping back and forth between these two, but there's so many parallels here. Again, we see the thoughts mentioned over and over again. And it says in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And again, verse 25, it says, take no thought for your life. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. You know what? If the material things of life are what are consuming your thoughts, that is the first indicator of where our affections are. Obviously, there's lots of things that we think about and that come through our mind. But really, what is the resting place of your mind? When other things are out of the way, what does your mind go to? And that reveals to us our affections. And I know that's something I am convicted about too, thinking about where are my thoughts. Okay, also our talk. You know, what we think about is going to come out in what we talk about. And people around you are going to be listening to that. What are you always known to talk about? That's going to reveal your affections. Also your time. What do you spend your time on? Do you give any of your time to serve the Lord? You know what? It takes time to serve the Lord. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. And there's a sacrifice there. But you know what? It shows where we are placing our value. You know what? You give time to something that you value. And if it's something that you think is going to make you a lot of money, well, you're usually pretty willing to give your time to that. And that's true of all of us as humans. But when it comes to a church work day or a ministry opportunity, is it looked at as an opportunity to put the kingdom of God first? To set your affection on the things above. And lastly, our talents. Our thoughts, talk, our time, and our talents, referring to our money. As we see in the parable there in Matthew chapter 6. But do you use your money to serve the Lord? Does God have first place in your finances? There was a little boy and his father who were playing store. Well, the little boy was playing store, and the father came along and observed what he was doing and decided to play along. And he reached into his pocket and offered to pay a nickel for a set of binoculars he had there he was selling in his play store. Well, the boy eyed the tiny nickel a little unsatisfied and said, Dad, we're playing store. We're not playing church. And you know, a lot of times our affections are revealed by our money. You know, what do we think something's worth? And, of course, we're not giving for the eyes of men, but we're giving for God. And God sees that. But think about that. Do you use your money to give to the Lord? So here we see a choice, the choice of our affection. Your pursuit in life, what is it? Is it the things of God, or is it temporal things that are going to pass away? Well, you must choose, and these choices are mutually exclusive. At the end of your life, all your material things will be gone. You know what they say? You won't see a hearse, a U-Haul pulling behind a hearse. Because all those material things are gone. And what you have that is awaiting you in when you reach heaven's gates, will it be an eternal reward? Or will everything you had in life be gone? You see, souls, those are things that will be an everlasting reward. And the Bible talks about different crowns and different rewards that await those that faithfully serve the Lord. What is it going to be at the end of your life? Are you going to stand empty-handed? Or are you going to have an eternal reward, treasure, that's laid up in heaven because you, right now, decided that you were going to live for God? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would reveal areas of affection in our lives that are misplaced. And to call us, Lord, back to a place of surrender to you and to your will. And Lord, I know it's a conviction in my own life. I pray that you would help this church and each of us as individuals, Lord, to really seek the kingdom of God first. Pray this in your name. Amen.